Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who doesn't have anything witty to start the episode off with. Maybe my co-host does.
So much pressure. Uh-oh. It's Akua, pronouns she and her. Your favorite bald demisexual who also doesn't have anything witty because now the pressure's on.
I was gonna say something really. I was gonna say, did you just call yourself bald? Keep my co-host name out your fucking mouth.
That's a real friend, okay? Ready to fight you behind you.
Exactly. Oh boy. All right, on every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising, we do not discuss the slap, but we do talk about our sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and your lives. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. Today, we're uncovering a two-part gay dog saga. Very exciting. We're also talking about the Jamaican dance hall DJ who has no empathy for young girls. We're talking about how climate change is pushing folks on the continent into survival sex work. We're unpacking a TLC song from the 90s, talking about a sugar baby pyramid scheme, and so much more.
If you'd like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoe Uprising or tweeting us at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter. We're also Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes, we are. Let us get into our first segment of the day.
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit. Oh.
It is called Fuck Is That Sound, and it is an analysis of horny and or problematic songs from yesteryear. So today we've got Can't Satisfy Her by I Wayne, which has been following me and Akua for this entire weekend. So it is only fitting that we talk about it now.
Like, I don't know if I realized how much they played it at Jamaican and Caribbean functions, or if it was just this week.
I'm not sure either. I don't know if it's confirmation bias or like there's something in the universe that's like, I know you bitches about to talk about this. Okay, so should I say what it's a dance hall song. Should I just get straight into the lyrics? I don't know that much about I Wayne, so I don't really, anything that you. I would say would be us learning it together as an audience.
So let's just get into the song.
Okay.
Well, right. Can you tell us when the song was published?
Or yes, I can. Yes, I can. 2004. I thought it was a little bit earlier than that, but 2004.
Oh, I thought it was a little bit later than that. Okay, time is
it's fake. Time is a construct. All right, so it starts off with, whoa, whoa, sailing away. Whoa, whoa. And then we have a point of contention with genius.com and myself. Genius says prostituting in Christ stripperella.
That's not the word.
Isn't it? It's prostitution ain't right stripperella.
Yes.
Okay. So everything else is tainted, honestly. Genius.com is ran by white people and not the white Jamaicans. So whatever. But okay, I do have notes on this already. So like, if we're going off the fact that he says prostitution ain't right, stripperella, he's just making moral decisions about sex work off rip, which I don't agree with. That's a broad sweeping take on sex work. Like, obviously, like, there is nuance in there and stuff like that, but I don't agree with that. But when it comes to survival sex work, which is what I think this song is, which I know this song is primarily about, he starts off with the individual prostitution ain't right, stripperella, instead of, like, the system that this girl has been caught up in. Which we will talk about as we go through the lyrics, but he just starts off with like, girl, you wrong. Don't like that.
And gave her a foul ass name. Like, stripperella, that's not her name.
Yeah. Although I kind of like stripperella. I don't know why. Okay.
But that's not her name.
That is not her name. She has a name and that's not it. Okay. Verse one. Say she flirt with her boyfriend, Brejim, him have money and bling, so she go bed with him. Catch the D's, now it starts spreading. She starts to seek penicillin, she's dying. Why are we listening to this at 12 years old?
And it's such a bop, but these words are like, oh my this God. Whole
segment is always songs that were like so dark.
Because Sam, I'm telling you, even as you're singing the lyrics, I'm going along with my head.
No, because and it's then, a bop. I mean, it played yesterday at a baby shower. We were at a baby shower when this played.
We were at a whole baby shower. But like, I'm now reading the lyrics. I'm like, wait a flipping minute.
All right, it continues. Mercy, please, her life should begin. When she hears say to the morgue she head in, she broke out at the age of 7, strip dancing before she reached 11. But you just said prostitution ain't right, stripperella.
How did she get there at age 7?
You're an adult, Iwane.
7?
You don't see an issue with this, sir? You don't see that that's...
basic addition at 7. You don't see this something wrong?
As an adult, why is that your take? Like, if you're seeing this happening in the hood, step in.
He's saying she broke out, which I'm assuming means she ran from home. So, like, you're describing her home life to be something she had to break out of, sounding abusive at 7 years old.
Yeah. I don't know why I always took out a broke out as that's when she, I don't believe in the concept of virginity, but like had sex for the first time or was assaulted. That's what I thought that always meant.
Okay, maybe.
But either way, something, none of that should be happening
wrong.
At 7.
Exactly.
None of it should be happening at 7. Then we have the hook, which you got a vibe to at the function, unfortunately. God damn, so catchy. One man can't satisfy her. She needs more wood for the fire. The sex price getting higher. More money she require. Which is like, that's just how capitalism goes, baby. Inflation
exactly
is a thing. More money I require too. Why you think you didn't get last week's episode, niggas? Why you have to pay $5 for it? We all...
we broke. No matter how much money I make, I need more money.
Exactly. A house, car, and then she desire. So from the prostitution work, she won't retire. Flames and fire. Sun is cool. Burn the flesh seller and the buyer. Which is... That's kind of interesting. But is it wrong to desire basic human needs? Because that's what the hook is about.
A house, a car, and land. Basic human needs. That man says she needs to desire for less.
Exactly. Or like, why not condemn the system that locked her out of these needs? Because everybody deserves house, car, and land. Or and house land. Transit and land. Like, she couldn't, she had to go into survival sex work at 11 years old.
At 11 years
old. And we're condemning her. Instead
and you
of
are
what
saying
took
she's
that way
the
from
problem.
A child. Like, what? What?
You're saying she is the problem. How?
How, Iwane? How, Iwane? I can't wait to get enough clout in my career that I start, like, interviewing dancehall artists. Because I got a lot of questions for all these
I
niggas.
I have questions.
I got to ask Spice about the satellite dish. Okay, so whatchamacallit? Rap genius says that this is about, like, Bun is, like, in regards to getting infected with an STI. But mm-hmm. I always thought burn the flesh seller and the buyer was you're all going to burn in hell.
Ooh.
What did you think it was? Or were you just whining at party?
I'm just whining, girl. No, I also thought it was disease.
Okay. Damn.
Because up there, kind of like the idea of like when you have an STD and it burns. And up in the first verse, he talked about her her having a disease and like seeking penicillin. So, and that it's spreading.
It could be a double entendre.
It could be.
It could be both. Like, you're doing, because he does say prostitution ain't right. It's so right. Mm-hmm. Could be like you're burning or you will burn in hell. But if
so
it is just
everybody else.
Yeah, if it is just the STI part, I just feel like you should be condemning the buyer who is purchasing sex work from a little girl.
An 11-year-old.
Like, why is the song that's not about it. That? Why is the song not? Because you can't condemn her because, like, she needs the money. But, like, if an adult wanted to help, there's so many things you could do.
Then buying the sex work, I'm just saying. You could have just gave her the money.
Exactly. Like, you
truly
had it.
Like, little girl, here you go, baby. Here
Why
you
is the
go.
Song not about that? Okay, verse 2. What? Say she want a man to take her to the movies. Then another set to buy her pearls and rubies. Says she don't care about cuts and bruises. That's just the way she chooses. So that's like her putting up with like abuse because she wants to survive. And then like throwing in like the pearls and rubies, like trying to make her seem like she's a fucking gold digger. She needed a house, car, and land, nigga.
No. He threw in the pearls and rubies after saying she wants to go to the movies, as if the movies are just as extravagant really as pearls point. And rubies. The girl needs entertainment. Is that not a human right to want to go see a movie?
Not $5 Tuesdays being the same as a string of pearls.
And rubies.
Oh. Oh, man. Music, bro. I don't know. Okay. Says she needs a man for bring autumn, summer, winter, spring cash, carnival, splash, and sting cash. I never knew what sting cash is. New hairstyle, nails, and bling cash. She's just doing business. Just bring cash. First of all, when you're a sex worker, hair, nails, that's like a part of the job.
So. It's literally no one is really paying for me if I look broke down.
That's a business expense. That's a business expense.
It is literally a business expense.
Let me go to the next one. I don't have that much to say about that verse. Let's go to verse 3. Say she buy her bleach and cream for get well brown, plus her chicken pills so she well round. Say she ready for try the L zone. What did you think L zone meant when you were younger? Because I always thought she was doing some lesbian sex.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, what is L zone?
What does it mean? Because I was like, oh, so she's just... She's opening the market to everyone. Okay.
Yeah. Say she sex with pager and cell phone. She na know the mass English or spelling so fine. All she know morning or evening or selling time. See it day, look what happened. Soft like a cotton, flesh start a rotten. There's a lot to talk about in this one verse. So my first point, there are a lot of moral tales about bleaching, like, you know, dem I bleach, dem mm-hmm. I bleach out them skin. And then Mr. Vegas sampled that and was like, black and proud, say it mm-hmm. all out. But they always pose it as an individual issue and not moving closer to light skin and desirability is like a means of survival. Like, why are we always missing that?
Because it's an individual choice to bleach. That is what they truly believe. You could just love your brown skin. No one else is making you hate it. You need to do better. It's always you need to pull yourself by your bootstraps.
Is there any song in any actual genre that really gets at the fact that this is like a systemic, this is an individual issue. Response to a systemic issue? Does that exist in music?
One of y'all please tell us, because I don't know.
Like, does it not go hard to, like, analyze the system? Like, dancehall niggas have songs about the system. Popcorn has a whole song called The System. So I don't know why we're missing that. I don't know why we're missing that. My other point about this one, I even forgot about the, like, why did he have to talk about, oh, she don't know math, English, or she been in sex work since she was 11, nigga.
Since she was seven, okay? When I said I was learning 2 + 2 in basic addition, my girl didn't learn it. She didn't.
This reminds me when I talked about, what is it? Your baby on the floor because he's hungry or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Like, what was the point of this song?
Sit high. It was to condemn women. It was pure hatred for women and sex workers.
They're not doing anything. They're not saying anything.
They're not
adding anything new.
And this is why we bop to it, because we don't really, our brains don't want to merge the two words. I just got to sway because.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just wish, I feel like, you know, everybody gets smarter over time or whatever. Us as a culture, I mean, I think like progress is made and people get lost and people forget things and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just wish there were bops that go farther in politic.
Wouldn't that be like conscious hip-hop? I don't
know. No, I fucking hate conscious hip-hop because those niggas are not as woke as they think they are.
Exactly.
Like, this nigga J. Cole, he said he didn't read, son. Like, or like gather new information, because you don't always have to read. You don't always have to read to gather new information. But like, what are you pulling it from? And that's why you get like one time for my L.A. sisters, one time for my L.A. hoes. Real niggas don't know the difference. That's the woke rapper you're giving me? No, I don't accept that. I would rather just listen to the bullshit.
You know, it's really the one man can't satisfy her. She needs more wood for the fire. Ooh. As if she is choosing sex work, not out of survival, but so she's so uninsatiable.
Exactly.
And it's like, she's hungry, and this is what gets her food. Exactly. So no, it's not going to satisfy her, because guess what? Tomorrow, I'm hungry.
Like, for food. Yeah, exactly. Hungry for food, not hungry for dick and money.
Like, I need to eat and sustain myself. I'm not hungry for dick. I'm not doing this because I like dick. Though, again, there are sex workers who love sex and choose that as work. But this young girl that he was talking about her is not the case. My girl was just trying to survive. And he's like, you can't go to the movies. You can't have a house. You can't have a car. You shouldn't have land. You really should just starve.
Because what else are you offering, Iwane? What solutions are you offering? And then what is it? Is it like just the documentation? Because I hated an it exists ass nigga.
The word is wet ass nigga.
Yeah. Like, oh, thank you. Yes. Child prostitution. It's wrong. Thank you.
Anyway. There goes the cookie. Yeah. Bring out the fresh baked cookies.
And honestly, there is the fucking cookies. Because if we're talking about like residual income, this nigga's getting, this was his one song and his career is set. He's good.
Because they play it everywhere. We literally went to 3 different places.
We can go to a place right now and start playing. Like, what the fuck? We get it. All right. I don't have anything else to say about Can't Satisfy Her.
Okay.
Do you? Before we move
no.
on?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, let us know what you think in all the comments on Instagram and write in all that kind of shit if you have thoughts.
By the time we're done with this segment, I'm going to hate music more than I do now.
And Yakua hates music.
And I hate.
Who will turn off everything on the Spotify playlist? Like, goddamn.
Okay. I'm tired. So now all I have is the songs from yesteryear. I'm going to hate them too.
Slowly ruining your childhood, one segment at a time.
Let's
move on to Waterfalls by TLC. Akua's gonna rip TLC a new one. Goddamn, let's see it.
Let me know when it came out, because I don't know. I know I did a song.
1984.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. Niggas was not even chatting.
I could
barely even talk at that time. All right. Here we go.
And it's particularly, the whole song was very problematic. It was very trauma porny again, much like it was this narrative about, you know, all these things that is like, you're not really, again, providing us a solution. It exists, right? So we're going to skip past verse 1 about the young boy that was
shot.
Yeah, drawn into what I believe was a gangster drug lifestyle and dad. And we're going to go into verse number 2.
Oh, boy.
We'll start with chorus.
Okay.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. I know that you're gonna have it your way or nothing at all. But I think you're moving too fast. Little Precious has a natural obsession for temptation, but he just can't see. She give him loving that his body can't handle, but all he can say is, baby, it's good to me. One day he goes and takes a glimpse in the mirror, but he doesn't recognize his own face. His health is fading and he doesn't know why. 3 letters took him to his rep. Final resting place. Y'all don't hear me. Now,
I'm just thinking about the video and I just hate it all. But go ahead.
Oh, I can't remember the video. Oh, child, thank goodness.
The video actually sticks out in my mind more than the lyrics do. Because I was always like, I know that the song was talking about like, oh, moral panic, the AIDS crisis. But I didn't realize that the lyrics match so much.
Okay. Now I gotta go back and look at the video. It was always this part of the song where it was like, all right, where are we going? What story are we telling? But we hopped from scenario to scenario and it was just always the sprinkle of HIV on something. Like a fucking garnish on a dish, or like when black people pour henny into the food, like, why
it's Henny and parsley.
It gives me,
it's Henny and parsley.
It very much gives me, very much then reminds me of Tyler Perry. Like, yes. Someone's always got the AIDS. Like, we just gotta throw it in there. But I never understood it, because at first I remember thinking knowing that it was about AIDS, HIV, that he was DL or something. And when I was younger, it never occurred to me that women could also transmit HIV. Mm-hmm. Poor education system. Sorry.
And the media. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I know it. But yeah, so then as I'm reading it, it's like she gives him loving that his body can't handle. It was again playing on the fact that he was insatiable, and then having sex again, this was my thought process, having sex with men to curb his desires. And then he got HIV and then he died. That's what I took from it many, many years ago. Uh-huh. And never looked at it again. That was just the story I took from it. Uh-huh. But why? I just need to know why this whole song existed. Because the moral of it was then, you know, it was really like, what I took from it, from the chorus, was don't be ambitious. Just stay put. Don't do nothing in life because everything's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you'll live. If you do anything else to try to advance yourself or have a good time, you finna die.
Yeah. And once again, very individualistic response to societal issues. Like in 1994, at the height of the AIDS pandemic, when like HIV AIDS activists were like, hey, can you care about us? Can you like fucking get this pandemic under control and things like that? TLC is going to make a song and be like, this nigga wanted sex too much. And that's why he caught it. Like, what the fuck? He was having sex with this girl. Like, is it wrong to want sex from your girl? Like, I don't. What are we trying to say here? How did he know that his body couldn't handle that? Like, how would he have known? Like, what was the point? What was the point, T-Boz? What was the point?
The whole song really said, don't try nothing new because you finna die. That's what I took from it.
Yeah. I think they were trying to do that fucking woke shit at that time. I don't know how well they succeeded because it didn't resonate with me. I also think about the song Unpretty. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that that was not good either.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I feel like that one was like, eating disorders exist. Love yourself, bitch.
Yes, body dysmorphic disorder exists. You can fix your nose because he said so. Very desirability, like trying to point at desirability politics, but in the wrong way because like, there's a larger system at play, sis. It's not just me. It's not just me or my homegirl next to me. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
And even if I changed and my homegirl next to me changed, it doesn't take away the problem. Even if we did take an individualized approach to it, we are two out of millions of people under this oppressive system. Like, it's not, we're not doing much. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why do you think, though, that like, maybe it's record companies. I don't know. Now I'm getting into my conspiracy bag. Like, why was it okay? Why was it okay to make music that's like, the problem exists, and now,
and you are the solution?
Well, now I don't know, because I'm very disconnected from today's music, as I've said like multiple times. But like, are we making music about like, no, the real problem exists? Like, not the problem exists, you are the solution. It's like, the problem exists, we are the solution to dismantling the system. Like, where is that? Because I would bow to that. Like, does that... I can understand why that wouldn't get, like, mainstream appeal, because record companies are, like, corporate capitalistic serving businesses. So why would they promote that? But also, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Never mind. Because I think that I'm going to get into the problem exists, you are the solution territory. I feel like I'm about to go into, why did you niggas make it better music? But let me not assume that people aren't, because I have no idea.
Yeah,
if you are, let us know. How about that?
Please send some my way so I can listen to something for a change. Because it's just podcasts and audiobooks when I got time to listen to something. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, God. Yeah, that segment, that did not uplift me in any sort of way. Let's move
on. Sorry, y'all. It was supposed to be funny. It got dark, as it always does with us.
That was like a 1-2 punch. Okay, that segment stressed me out. You know what else stresses me out? Life. You know what can help out with that? Therapy. Yeah. We're about to do a gay dog saga. But first, we got to tell you that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, and sleeping too much. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. Kua, from the perspective of a mental health therapist, why might one want to do therapy, and what has your experience been with receiving therapy?
I mean, therapy is so important. I'm good. It's not just because I'm a therapist that I say that, but like, you're just raw dogging life. Like, it's horrible to just be out here. Therapy is a valuable vehicle for unbiased, unconditional support so you can manage navigating, you know, life on this ghetto ass planet. Even as a therapist, I see a therapist, and it really helps me to learn self-management and stress management, reminds me to prioritize myself and to unlearn the negative, oppressive messages from society, even the ones that come in our songs.
Ooh. That's a good point. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't ever have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Inner Hall Uprising listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. That's BETTERHELP.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising, BETTERHELP.com/IHU. Let's get back to the show. Into our next segment.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, this dog must be gay.
This is Animals Do Be Gay, though. The segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals. We have got an adopted gay dog saga for you all here today. And this is a full circle moment because depending on how you're listening to this, you might have just heard the bump for this segment, which is literally about a gay dog. So,
like, the circle fully met, and it makes me so happy. It makes, like, okay, I need to know where you clipped that bump from and what happened to that gay dog, because please.
I will do research. Yeah, maybe that's the follow-up to this one, the OG gay dog. All right, so I'm going to read from an article in WCCB Charlotte titled Dog Dumped at Local Shelter Because Owners Say He's Gay, written by Morgan Fogarty, March 17th, 2022. Shout out to everybody named Morgan. All right, a local shelter dog is looking for a soft landing after being dumped by his owners for being quote unquote gay. A Stanley County Animal Shelter Facebook post says the dog's owner surrendered him to the shelter because he humped another male dog, which is literally, that's the bump. It's he humped a male dog. Owners say this dog must be gay.
Sam, what is
common occurrence?
I'm sorry, but like, this feels like such a time loop, bitch. What if we somehow pulled that from the future, bitch?
Not sci-fi.
Oh, shit.
Not the first ever real fucking sci-fi episode of Inner Hall Uprising.
I need to know where that bump came from.
Maybe I shouldn't research it. I research it and fucking timeline collapses. I meet my former self. Oh God. I'm scared.
Continue.
Okay, Fezco, the shelter says, is about 4 to 5 years old and weighs 50 pounds. They say he likes people and other animals. The shelter is asking for local rescues to step up and take in Fezco to foster him before he's adopted. Now, let's talk a little bit about doggy humping behavior. So I'm going to read from an article in dogster.com, great name, titled, Talk About Dog Humping. Why Do Male Dogs Hump Other Male Dogs? Because clearly a lot of people are curious. And this is by Melvin Pena, written October 25th, 2018. Melvin writes, unless they are trained and or desensitized, dogs of both sexes, both neutered and intact, can and will hump anything in their immediate vicinity. That's true. I've seen it. I witnessed it. My feet have experienced it. Dogs like to hump my feet. Even a casual observer of canine interaction can tell you that humping behaviors involve everything from stuffed animals to couch pillows, from human legs to table legs. Answering the question, why do male dogs hump other male dogs, then requires us to shift our perspective a bit. Dog humping happens for a variety of reasons, including non-sexual play as puppies, social interaction as they reach maturity, pleasure and self-gratification, stress relief, urinary tract problems. So let's ask a better question about dog humping. The plain and simple fact is that dogs are indiscriminate about their humping. Boy dogs hump other boy dogs and girl dogs hump other girl dogs. Humans ascribe moral or ethical systems to everything, including having a wide range of conflicting notions of sexual propriety. Therefore, we think it odd, strange, or even comical that sexual congress would take place outside of our well-organized mental frameworks. A better question to ask is, why do even spayed or neuter dogs engage in humping or mounting activities? I love the way that Michael writes, because I feel like Michael was like, y'all niggas is really homophobic up in here, and I'm going to read you in a dog humping article, low-key. And they're doing it so well. So spaying and neutering may lessen a dog's sex drive, but they do not completely eliminate the joys of stimulation, nor do these operations address the other functions that humping serves. Male dogs humping, even after being neutered, may have a component of social organization or assertion of dominance, but fighting, sniffing, and territorial marking all play larger roles in that context. Fixed male dogs may continue to hump different and same-sex dogs for a number of reasons, most of which can be dealt with through training, attention, or distraction. Medical problems can cause dog humping behaviors as well. Excessive humping, along with excessive licking or biting at their erogenous zones, can be an outward symptom of internal health problems. A dog who only humped sporadically, if at all, and is now doing it all the time, may be suffering from allergies or a urinary tract infection. Problems urinating can cause male dog to seek relief in any way, including humping. I did not know that. And I think that that's so cool. I just like animals, including humans, even though I hate people. It's just like, oh, my brain is telling me to do this because I can't control this thing and it really hurts. The final answer, male dogs humping, if not excessive, is normal. Copulation and reproduction are two of the most wondrous things in all of the natural world. Okay, that's subjective, but sure. To the vast majority of the 8.7 million species that share our planet, they are and always have been two distinct and separate things. Your dog isn't homosexual. That's an all too human designation for a universal proclivity. A large number of animal species, dogs included, that share our planet engage in same-sex behaviors, most of which have little, if anything, to do with reproductive drive. That could be the finale of Animals Do Be Gay, though. Like, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
I love that. It won't be the end, but thank you, Michael. So does your boy dog hump other boy dogs, blankets, or toys occasionally? It's a perfectly normal activity, even for neutered male dogs. So now that we have that context about supposed gay dogs who are humping male dogs, I'll now be reading from an article in Breezy Scroll by Giovanni Mattaglia, published March 24th, 2022, because it's part two of the North Carolina gay dog saga. There is no end to homophobia, Giovanni writes. It was only limited to people, but now it has also paved its way for the housing of animals. On Tuesday, an openly gay couple adopted a dog abandoned at a North Carolina animal shelter after his owners mistook him for gay. Steve Nichols and his partner, John, have been married for 30 years and live in Charlotte. According to the pair, they adopted Fezco and called him Oscar after famous gay writer Oscar Wilde. Kua, if you had a gay dog, what would you name your gay dog?
I have no idea. It would not be a name because he was gay. It'd just be a name. His name be Mittens or some bullshit. Okay. Frank.
Not Frank. I love Frank as a name for a dog. I have many, but I don't really like dogs that much. So I think that these could all be applied to cats, but they are after our famous queer ancestors. I got Pawdry Lord.
Pawdry.
I got James Paldwin.
I hate you.
I really like this one, Paulie Murray, because I like the actual Paulie Murray so much. It's just great. And then finally, Alice Palker. That was probably the worst one.
I hate that one. I'm sorry.
Okay, if you're listening, you have gay animal names, please write in.
But those are so cute. I love Pawdry Lord.
I like Pawdry Lord too. So Nichols spoke to WCCB Charlotte and said, "It's such a silly reason to turn in a dog. We thought it would make sense for the gay dog to be adopted by a loving gay family." Dr. William Presley, who's treating Oscar, says all dogs deserve a forever home. "You don't just throw him away," said the veterinarian. "When you get an animal, he's there for the lifetime." Any comments about the gay dog saga, Akua?
It was quite a tale watching it unfold. I am glad that Oscar, I don't know how I feel about renaming a dog, but I'm glad that Oscar is now in a loving, affirming home, though it's not even quite sure if he's actually gay or he's just doing what dogs be doing. Like, does he actually like other male dogs? Was he just chilling this one time, kind of socializing?
Yeah.
And boom, he got labeled. Like, did his owner must have never seen this behaviors before in 4 years of Oscar's life. So, like,
yeah,
you didn't think, something going on with my dog. Let me go figure it out. You just saw it and said, no, you gay, you gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. Never saw this behavior and hated, like, the concept of homosexuality so much.
So much.
Like, I'm going to take you to the doctor, see what's going on. Is this normal? Google it. They were just like, no, this nigga.
He gotta go.
Put up the cross and shit like that. Power of Christ compels you. They put holy water in his little doggy bowl.
No. But he didn't do any of that. Literally grabbed him by the collar and said, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, no interventions. No religious interventions. No Google. Nothing.
Gay Satan is in this dog. This is the gay agenda.
This is the gay agenda. You've gotten to the doggies. Man's best friend. That's how you get to, it's how you tell people gay. Get to man's best friend. Spread the word.
I have a comment. It's, if people are doing this to dogs, imagine what they're doing to queer kids.
Oh, baby.
It's like, hello. You don't actually have to imagine, though, because I did a 2-part audio documentary on this. It's called Fostering Hate. I will put it in the show notes for you to listen.
1, you better plug yourself. And 2, you better do the work. Come through.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. If you fuck with Animals Do Be Gay Though movement, you can support us and rep the set by purchasing a swank new hashtag Animals Do Be Gay Though tee, tank, or crew neck to rock this summer, winter, fall, spring, all that kind of shit. We got it for you. The link to do so will be in the show notes. Aku has something to say.
Oh, yeah. So this month I sat down with the brilliant, eloquent, radiant Dr. Money of Queer Walk Pod. And we chatted about mental health disorders, specifically sexual disorders in the DSM. It's a part one of a 2-part series. And we take a look discussing paraphilias versus kinks and fetishes, what constitutes as a disorder, healthy sexual development, how the difference in male and female socialization needs to be addressed, and so much more. It was a fun time. I'm really excited for you guys to hear us chat a bit. It was really, really fun getting into my mental health bag with another mental health professional, another Black queer mental health professional. So yeah, y'all gotta go check that out.
Love when bad bitches link up. So for the low of $2 a month, you can listen to that and watch that greatness. You can be educated and entertained, and you can support your fave queer Black feminist led sex podcast and have access to not only that but the weekly content, hangouts, and resources that we put up for you on Patreon. For $5 a month, you'll receive access to that plus our monthly patron only episodes, and you can join in on the live recording as we're doing it. We'll chat with you and all that kind of stuff. It's a great time. If you're not down with any of that but still want to monetarily support, you can hit up our PayPal. The links to our Patreon and PayPal are in the show notes. All right, let's move on to Fuck That. This is our current event segment. Akua has a story that I'm so excited to hear.
Okay. First, I need you to help me pronounce this word. Is it
Al Jazeera?
Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
Al Jazeera. That ain't gonna stick, but okay.
Okay.
So this story is published in Al Jazeera and is authored by Calvin Manica. And it was published February of 2022. Mm-hmm. And in the, I'm gonna give a summary, I'm gonna give a Sparks notes of this article, but okay, it will be linked in the show notes for you to read. Mm-hmm. Intertwined in the article are the accounts of three teenage girls, Tawanda, Chipo, and Onita, three Zimbabwean teenage girls who have been affected by climate change and have been driven to survival sex work to survive. So basically, this story is setting the stage of the account of these three girls against the global effects of climate change. So we all know what climate change is. If you don't believe it's real, I don't know what to tell you.
This ain't your podcast, baby. I'm so sorry. Podcast. How did you get here?
But climate change is affecting all corners of this globe. And in most areas of Zimbabwe, they have been hit hard by climate change with heat waves, low precipitation, or the opposite, excessive rains that result in flash floods. And according to the Meteorological Services of Zimbabwe, the country has experienced its sixth warmest year on record.
Oh, boy.
As of 2022, with daily minimum and maxing temperatures rising by approximately 2 degrees Celsius over the past century. This is leading the country to experience extremes of weather over the past two decades, including 10 droughts, decreased fresh water, and destroyed biodiversity. According to the Zimbabwean Power Company, the water levels in Zimbabwe's main lake, Lake Kariba, has dropped to below 30%. And this is seriously affecting power generation in the country because a significant portion of the country is powered by hydropower. Mm. So look at them trying to be green and it's still not helping. Yeah,
that's so frustrating.
Still not helping. The United Nations Development Program predicts agricultural production, which is the main livelihood source for Zimbabwe, for they predict that agricultural production could decrease by up to 30%. So again, the main way that people live, provide food for themselves and money for themselves, production is to decrease by 30%, which is going to lead to increased hunger and poverty. Mm. And as it intertwines, one of the teenage girls named Chipo accounted how climate change had pushed her into sex work. She said, in 2020, the year I finished school, I expected to plant soybeans, which is a less labor intensive cash crop, so that I could pay fees and rent a room. Basic life necessities. Mm-hmm. The rains came and they turned into floods and washed my project away. Aww. The only way that she had to, you know, make money for herself. Mm-hmm. So she could do basic things as paying her school fees and renting a room to sleep in, mm-hmm. all washed away in one night's rain.
Oh my God.
What are you supposed to do after that?
I don't know, because prostitution ain't the right stripper a lot. I was gonna make a part two.
Oh shit.
Climate change burn the flesh seller in the back.
Another teenage girl, Onita, shared in the article that in Hawange, which is a northern district in Zimbabwe, they've been experiencing flash floods and storms almost every year for the past 3 years. She accounts that she's seen girls dropping out of school or just after finishing school going to the city to seek jobs, but later turning to prostitution because the wages were just bare minimum. They yep. could not live off of that.
Mm-hmm.
A nonprofit organization and climate change migration analysts also noted the same thing that Onita said, that teen boys were quitting schools and going to artisanal mining in the dam, mm-hmm. the Mazawe Dam, and teen girls were going into child marriages and child prostitution to be able to sustain themselves. Many of the teenage girls talked about having experienced clients refusing to pay after services were rendered, enduring abuse and assault. And in Zimbabwe, it's a criminal offense to solicit sex, which means it's difficult for them to report wrongdoing against them to the police. So it's like, it's a part of the business.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that is what's happening in Zimbabwe.
And probably a lot of other places, too, right?
And definitely a lot of places. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We just have not have it. We have reported. Not had it. Yeah, reported and documented, but definitely more than likely across many of the other countries on the continent, many of the other countries in the Caribbean, many of the other countries in South America. Now in my own backyard, shoot.
Probably. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
I was just saying, oh, no, I just.
Okay, yes.
Not pleased.
And knowing that the state of climate change is not irreversible or going to be fixed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That means more and more young girls get, you know, much like Ai Weng said, at the age of 7, will be going into
prostitution. Not he predicted it. He just had the flames wrong. It was the flames of the sun.
Okay. So my sun is cool. The sun ain't cool no more, okay? Like, yes, it's hot.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we've definitely mentioned this on the show before, and if you are like, I don't know, a person of any sort of like basic social justice conscious, you're probably pretty aware of the fact that like climate change is going to impact the most marginalized people the first and hardest. And things like this are just very frustrating to hear. It's difficult and it's frustrating to hear because you know that like super rich capitalists and things like that don't have any incentive to change the trajectory of things because it just does not fucking matter. Like, this is not their daughters. That's not their sons.
They're gonna tell you to turn off your lights. I'm so sick. Like, it pisses me off.
Did you recycle?
Did you recycle? You got to turn off your lights. You need to carpool. Nigga.
You need to buy a Tesla. What do you think those boys are mining for? They're mining for the fucking minerals that battery operates the minerals fucking in the Teslas.
Exactly. All right, let's get into some fuckery, please, to lighten our mood.
Okay.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God. What is that?
All right, we're going to end the show with Fuck Is This, which is a segment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. Let's start it off right quick with the sugar baby pyramid scheme.
I'm ready.
All right, let me do some share screens. There we go. All right, this is a Twitter post from at Isabel Zautun, but it's actually a screenshot of a Reddit post. So yeah, I'll read it. I, 47 female, feel jealous of my sugar babies, 37 male, sugar baby, 22 female.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's Jane. It's a pyramid scheme. That's what's going on. She might be somebody's sugar baby. In a couple of weeks, you're going to see a Reddit post from like a 65-year-old man. Like, I'm jealous of my 47-year-old. All right, so I'll read the post. So I have a sugar baby who fulfills my sexual needs while I pay his bills and give him gifts. It feels to have a hot younger lover. I guess it feels good to have a hot younger lover, and I have a lot of money so I can afford it. However, I know that my sugar baby uses most of his money I give him on his sugar baby, a hot Instagram model. I can't help feeling jealous, even though I know it's just a transactional relationship between us and we are not exclusive. Why do I feel this way?
All right, so let me tell you something. I feel like her name is Irene. So let me tell you something, Irene. Let me tell you something. You are jealous because when you were 22, you didn't think about this.
Ooh.
Okay. And now you see another younger woman coming up off of what you feel is your hard-earned work because you're giving this guy your money and he's giving it to her and you tight. And let me tell you something. It is none of your business how your sugar baby spends his money. None.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he wants to use your money to flaunt and come up and get his own sugar baby, honey, that's just the way life is going right now.
I want to say, like, shout out to Irene because this bitch is rich, son. Like,
she rich.
You have that much residual income that your residual income can be this nigga. Like, he's paying his bills and he's also breaking off another person.
Come on.
The wealth is long. The money is long. Let me get in. Can I fit like in Irene, between one of them?
Irene is tight because a man has found a way to, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but not manipulate.
He's gaming the system.
Yeah, exactly. And she felt like she was going to be on top because she has money. She has capital. You know, she can be not the oppressor, but she can be the bigger person on top. If that's the case, Irene, cut your sugar baby off. Link with his sugar baby and then create a company on how to build sugar babies.
Ooh, make your money longer, Irene.
Because you want to, you like the power of being able to afford this guy's young lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And now that he's using your lifestyle to afford someone else's lifestyle, you're like, oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. But if he just sat on a couch and ate grapes off of your money, you would have been perfectly fine. No. Yeah. No, Irene. Get it together.
I also feel, yeah, I definitely, I agree with what you're saying. Like, she wanted to be top dog in some sort of way, but also it's like the desirability thing because, like, fuck what they told you or whatever, like, down with all the bullshit, like, oh, 30 years old, 40 years old, or whatever. But, like, it's getting to her that this money is going to a 22 year old woman. Mm-hmm. And, like, because you don't really want to know that your sugar baby has somebody else, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to feel like I'm in control because I have the money and I'm desirable. Mm-hmm. But now she feels, because, like, I'm giving you the money, but, like, you're giving the money to somebody else because you desire them that much. Like, how does that make me feel? Like, it's a dig at your ego, I think.
And I think, you know, I think that being an older sugar mother, the part of the desirability is the money. So I think that there's a part where she feels, you know, she felt good feeling desirable because she could flaunt this wealth, but knows that this sugar baby's getting by just on her looks, baby. She don't got nothing to get at, man, but her looks. Whereas you got to put out money and, you know, wine and dining, baby girl sitting pretty in her finest fashion Nova. You are upset about it. It is eating you up.
That's a good point.
You feel that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. You should still feel good in your own though, because like the 22 is wearing fashion Nova. This bitch is probably wearing some shit, some Italian
She's
designer that I
Chanel.
Can't even fucking
exactly.
pronounce.
Like, and you said it. Irene's money's long. Okay.
People are eating over this. Like,
it's the rich white person equivalent of the black mama, grandmama that looks around the room like, I did this. Everybody came for me. Exactly. That's it. Like, your money's long enough that we fostering sugar babies down the line.
It's some all you bitches are my sons type shit. Okay? Like, son.
I need you to be proud of that, Irene. Exactly. I need you to be proud.
Okay. All right. The next one is... It's not good, man. It's not good. We gotta drag him one time for the one time. All right. So this is from @LadySideshow. Lady Sideshow says, for when it's not bath day.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Akul will describe the TikTok that's happening.
Please, because all I see as Sam is trying to read it, there's no sound. I see this white woman spraying Febreze in her crotch.
And the caption.
I can't see the caption. Oh, it says anyone else? No.
Question mark, exclamation point, question mark. First of all, I mean, all of it is first of all, but it's happening in a garage. I'm not even sure. I'm not going to turn on the sound because my computer gets fucked up when I turn on the sound. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's worth it. Yeah, I don't think this woman spraying her crotch instead of taking a shower.
When it's not bad, anyone else? No, baby, no. Nobody else. I hope nobody else.
This is another case of TikTok niggas just... First of all, this is actually a dual case. A dual case of white people telling us they don't fucking shower in just various ways. I don't know why they do it. I don't care why they do it. And then a case of TikTokers telling us all their fucking business. Mm-hmm. Like... Not to, like, be a fucking, I'm going to assume that this woman is a mother. I see a lot of cereal boxes in the background. I don't think she's eating that much cereal by herself. Mm-hmm. This is somebody's mom. Imagine if you did this, Akua, and Dave was scrolling on TikTok.
Nah.
You out there spraying your crotch with some fucking Febreze, yo. Like,
as a life hack. Baby girl, get in the bathtub. Just wash.
Do at least a thought bath.
I'm about to say, do a whole bath.
These niggas don't have washcloths.
How is she going to? I mean, and as a mother, if again, we're assuming she's a mama, she knows the elitist whole bath, because after you give birth, they give you a squirt bottle that you can spray with water to get the under, because things are tough, things are rough after childbirth. Mm-hmm. Everything hurts. You learn a whole new version of thought bathing.
You said they spray things in their crotch. That's what she's doing, Aku.
No. It's like a water bottle. You don't spray something in your crotch, but it's a water bottle to help you rinse out without getting in the tub over a toilet. Okay. Things are sore. It's stitched back up. Things are bleeding. You can't touch things. You get to squirt and it feels so good. It's so ice cold and good. Woo. But like, you know that. So you know you don't need the Febreze.
Not that she needs the Febreze. She wants the Febreze.
Febreze gonna put out a statement saying this is not the intended use of our products. Please don't do what this woman is doing.
Do not in lieu of a shower. Do not use in lieu of a shower.
For home furniture. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to be selfish. I'm gonna save this third one for another time and just show the silly one that we have 3 minutes and I just think this is so silly. I hope you didn't see this one.
No, okay. I didn't see any of them.
Okay. I just mean in the wild.
Oh, girl, I ain't on them.
Okay. So we have this. We have Zaria Lynn quotes reading Wait, and he's proud of this. And it's a picture of Tyler Perry. And it says, cool, read that for me, please.
Tyler Perry claims he speaks in his Madea voice during intimacy.
And then this is part two.
Part two? Hello? When it slides, it's crazy.
Oh, God. That just killed me, son.
Yo, no, Twitter is a fucking funny place. Holy shit. Okay.
Just imagine you fucking a nigga.
No.
Hello.
I don't know. Hi. Oh, no. In his Madea voice.
And I was like, is that misinformation?
And there it is. Okay.
He's like doing a Vanity Fair lie detector test. Mm-hmm. And they ask him if he uses the Madea voice. And he says, sometimes, yes, once. And then I think he says, like, only during sex. Okay, wow. During sex.
Wow.
I think he's kidding.
But it's the best joke. Funny. Like, because I don't know whether you're real or not. I don't even. I'm going to believe it.
It has definitely happened once, I would say. I would assume that it's definitely happened once. Oh, man. That's the end. We don't have no more podcasts.
That's the end of the podcast.
The end of the podcast is you imagining having sex with Tyler Perry, whoever you are. And him hitting you with the Adler.
I see him coming out in the full Madea suit. Okay. I just see it as part of role play. And...
not kink shaming.
I'm not kink shaming. I'm Madea shaming. That's just Tyler Perry. No.
Oh, that's funny. Oh God, I know somewhere there's a Madea porn parody, and I'm not happy about it.
Exactly.
But I will look into it.
I will watch it and die as I watch it. Christ. Smith, end the show.
All right. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, or question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
Again, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InAHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, at InAHoeUprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can head over to InAHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe or cop that Animals Do Be Gay merch. And you guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. InAHoeUprising listeners get 10% off their first month by going to BetterHelp.com/IHU. Have a lovely motherfucking week, because you deserve to. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.